Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with the CEO of the Coles Group, Stephen Kane. Stephen, it's always a delight to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
When looking at Coles' result for the last half, I suppose what stands out, even to a casual observer, is that the business really performed strongly across all of its elements. Is that the way that you're thinking of the performance in the last 6 months?
Yeah, it's been a, you know, if you go back 12 months, we were just in that process of hearing about COVID and everything else. And of course, since then, we've served close to 1 billion customers, and there's not been a single case of community transmission in a Coles store. So the top priority has been to sort of keep our team members and our customers safe, and we've managed to do that. Alongside, we've tried to execute our strategy. We're 18 months in now of a five-year plan. So broadly, we've done a third, but we've still got two-thirds to go. And then on top of that, we've managed to sort of keep the sales and the profit moving along in a satisfactory way. So you're right, we achieved good sales growth in all of our businesses, and we managed to convert that sales growth into some quite significant profit growth, and that's resulted in a very strong balance sheet and a healthy dividend for our shareholders.
So I suppose the one of the questions that you face at the moment is that, given the extraordinary strength of the activity in the last 6 to 12 months, when you look out over the course of the next 12 to 18 months, it's going to be very difficult to emulate those levels. How do you manage that as a discipline?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if you look back at the food market between March and December, it grew at around 12%. And so we'll be cycling that level of growth. And normally the food market grows at between 3 and 4%. So it's a big challenge to cycle through. And what we've said is that it's likely that sales will moderate further and could even decline in the second half of this year and into FY22. But what we've also said to investors is that don't be judging us quarter by quarter or half by half. Judge us on from when we demerged to next year. Has the business made significant progress? And the answer to that is yes. The customers think we're doing a good job. Our suppliers are very much engaged, and our team members, their level of engagement is much higher as well. So from a stakeholder point of view, everyone seems to be happy with the progress that we're making on strategy. But what we are going to see is a bit of turbulence as we cycle COVID, which is the biggest change to shopping dynamics we've ever seen.
So obviously that focus on continuing to manage costs in the business is going to be even more important as we move through this phase. So where are you training your attention to the greatest extent?
Well, obviously the COVID costs have been significant in the last 12 months, and we started out with costs we'd never seen before. We're managing them consistently down. We're working with the health departments to look at what the guidelines are and so on. But the top priority is to stay safe. But our monthly COVID costs are now around $10 million a month. The other thing that was in our strategy was to take $1 billion of costs out to the business called Smarter Selling. And what we achieved in year one was around $250 million of saving. And we're on track to deliver another $250 this year. That's why when you look at the Coles results, where we've been able to achieve a better profit conversion from sales growth than many other supermarkets around the world, because we have an inbuilt cost reduction program, and that will serve us well over the next couple of years too.
So in terms of the CommSec experience, we've had a lot of new customers join our own business over the course of the last 12 months. A lot of them will be mum and dad investors, and it's incredibly important in relation to the dividend story for those investors. What's your view in terms of returning capital to mum and dad investors?
Yeah. Well, when we demerged from Wesfarmers 2 years ago, we said that our dividend payout ratio would be between 80 and 90% of our profits, and we've managed to deliver that. A lot of people looked at us at the time and they said, you won't be able to spend $1 billion of CapEx and maintain your dividend payout ratio successfully. And 2.5 years in, we have. So once again, we've paid a dividend of around about 80% this time around. It's a 10% improvement on last year. And obviously we've got a very strong balance sheet for the future in terms of taking advantage of opportunities. And some of those opportunities we've talked about in these set of results are rolling out more Coles Locals, which have been very successful both in Melbourne and Sydney, more investment into e-commerce, which has been a high growth for the whole economy, of course. And we're also investing more in backpacking facilities for customers as well, because one of the things that changed during COVID was that rather than our team members packing people's bags, a lot of customers decided they now want to pack their own bags, and that habit has stayed. And what we're trying to do is change our checkouts to make that easier for them.
In terms of the trends that you've seen within the pandemic, Stephen, and the things that are going to still stay with the business over the course of the longer term, what probably stands out the most to you?
Well, there's a few things. The biggest trend that we saw during COVID was the trend to shop local, and people, staying away from shopping centres and so on. And that's impacted our business because we've got a lot of big trading stores in shopping centres. And what we saw as restrictions eased and the half moved on was that shopping centres were starting to get a little bit busier as well. So we expect that shopping local trend to unwind over the course of this year, particularly as people get vaccinated. And there's a small minority of customers out there who are very paranoid about safety and equate crowds to COVID. That's something that will ease, obviously, as everyone feels more comfortable with the vaccine and so on. We saw some other big trends out there. We saw people doing more cooking at home, more working at home, and the move to online shopping. And we expect that the move to online shopping will continue to grow over time. It's subsided from its peak, but it's still in rapid growth. And we're obviously investing in a business called Ocado, which is the world's leading online grocery business. And that arrives in Australia in 2 years' time. We've got two centres in build in Melbourne and Sydney. So we're excited about that as well. And the working from home phenomenon is obviously here to stay. We don't expect it to be as big this year as it was last year, but it's still a benefit to supermarkets. And then the other thing that's happening in the economy in general is the change in immigration. So we've had a year of no immigration. Immigration has traditionally added about a third of the growth to supermarkets and other businesses. And so the longer the borders stay shut, the more the immigration will take its toll on the economy. So again, vaccine very important to opening borders and having immigration start again, because for us, immigration is important because there's more stomachs to feed. But from the economy as well, there's a lot of skills that come in from immigration over time, which help economic growth.
You mentioned that $10 million a month that you're spending in relation to maintaining COVID compliance. With the vaccine rolling out, are there any potential surprises in relation to that number, perhaps fading sooner rather than later?
Well, I mean, the vaccine has started, which is a great relief and not something we could have contemplated a year ago, which is good news. And with it impacting the vulnerable and perhaps those who are most threatened by COVID, that is good news. And obviously, as circumstances allow and as customers get used to being vaccinated and so on and feeling safer, then it's something that could come down over time. But the main areas that we're sort of still focusing on is making sure that there's plenty of sanitizer at the front and that we're regularly wiping down the checkouts and those high touch areas as well. And over time, that will gradually come down. But it'll be interesting to see where customers end up in terms of what their new expectations are in the vaccinated world. There's no doubt that I think everybody or most people are doing more regarding hygiene now than they were doing a year ago, both at home and work.
Just quickly on perhaps more of a supplier side of things, is that growers have had their own challenges over the course of the pandemic. What are you seeing in terms of food inflation more broadly at the moment?
Yeah, sort of inflation sort of peaked in the middle of last year when we did our full year results, and we said that it was likely to moderate, and it is moderating. It's different by category though. So Australian beef prices are now the highest in the world. And that's because farmers, after the drought, are now building their stocks. So there's a shortage of supply. So we've been focusing more on things like advertising chicken, which is the best value protein, or one of the best value proteins out there. So meat pricing, beef pricing is at a record high for those reasons. But what we're beginning to see is deflation in produce, because last year what we had was bushfires and droughts and whatnot, and then COVID on top that sort of increased demand, but there was a shortage of supply, so prices in produce went up. What we're seeing now is that there is, particularly in vegetables, plenty of supply because there's been more rain on the East Coast and the farming conditions are very good. That's partly offset by a shortage of labor in the fruit business, fruit picking business, which is high labor intensive. So we're seeing some fruit prices rise, but by and large, total produce prices are coming down.
Which is a good thing for everyone. But Stephen, we'll have to wrap it up there. As always, it's great to talk to you, and thanks for your insights.
Thanks, Tom. Look forward to speaking to you in 6 months.
Indeed.
All right.
And thank you very much for tuning into the Executive Series.